Chapter 10. Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, from Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. As we read the sixth chapter of Genesis, several things are obvious. First, in verses 1 through 5, we see sin increasing. 9 generations had now descended from Adam. We have no way of knowing how many millions of people there were upon the earth, but there were so many that they covered the face of the earth. And wherever men and women were found, sin was evident. The one thing all men had in common in those days, as they do now, was sin. Polygamy, which began with Lamech, was now commonly practiced. The number of wives that men took was limited only by the capacity they had to fulfill their lusts. The sons of God, the sons of Seth, began to marry the daughters of men, the daughters of Cain. Those who professed to be, and had a name to be, the sons of God, sacrificed their principles upon the altar of their lusts, and married the beautiful but godless daughters of Cain. And there were giants on the earth in those days, according to verse 4. The word giants simply means violent, oppressive, fallen men. They had the name of Seth, but the nature of Cain. They laid claim to God's name and His promises because their fathers were the sons of God. But they were the sons of Cain, fallen, cursed, violent, wicked men. Godless, religious men have always been the most violent, cruel, and wicked of men. God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart was only evil continually. Sin had reached its utmost depths. It was everywhere. It was the only appetite, desire, and work of the entire human race until it repented the Lord that He had made man. Man, who was created in the image and likeness of God, had become repugnant to His holy Creator. Second, we see the Holy Spirit striving with men, as in verse 3. The Apostle Peter helps us to understand the meaning of this verse, if you'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. The Spirit's striving with men is the long-suffering God, calling sinners to repentance by the preaching of the gospel, and granting them room for repentance. What mercy! God calls sinners who deserve this immediate wrath to repentance. He gives sinners opportunity to repent. But He will not always call. The day is coming when God will shut the door of mercy. When that happens, when God leaves men and women to themselves, they cannot be saved. Third, in verse 6, we see God repenting. The first time repentance is mentioned in the Bible, the person repenting is God Himself. If we understand what this verse says, we shall understand what repentance is. Repentance is a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of direction, and a change of action. Obviously, this is an anthropomorphic expression. We know this because we know that God does not change. Nor can He be changed. He is immutable. He never changes His mind or alters His purpose. Yet, sometimes the Lord God does alter His course of action in providence. Israel, a nation once so greatly blessed by God, is now a nation cursed. As a potter who forms a vessel that does not please him and then breaks it in pieces may be said to repent of his work, so, to show his aversion to man's wickedness, God resolved to destroy him. To express it another way, true repentance, then, is a change of direction in a man's heart, in his life, in his desires, and in his behavior. Fourth, in verse 7, we see justice threatening. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Justice demands it. A holy, righteous, and just God must punish sin. As God once flooded this world in a storm of wrath, so one day He will consume this world and all who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in a vengeful, flaming fire. He will punish the wicked with everlasting destruction. Yet there is hope. God is just, but He is gracious too. He is a just God and a Savior. Fifth, in verse 8, we see grace intervening. Grace, what a blessed word. This is the first time that grace is mentioned in the Bible. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Salvation is by grace alone. The cause of Noah's salvation was God's free and sovereign grace. Our text does not say God found grace in the eyes of Noah. It says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It is never the other way around. Salvation does not begin with man. It begins with God. Grace is not the result of something man does. Grace is God's work. It is God's gift. It is God's intervention. Because God had set His heart upon Noah from eternity and was determined to be gracious to him, He found a way to save him even though he was resolved to destroy the world. It was grace in God, not goodness in Noah, that saved this man from the flood of God's wrath. Grace is mentioned for the first time by divine purpose. Grace first appeared when the sin of man reached its climax, as if to teach us from the beginning that there is nothing in man which causes God to bestow His grace. Grace is free. It is sovereign. It is unconditional. The world was lost. It was condemned. It perished. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God always has a remnant to whom He will be gracious. Noah alone was God's remnant in that day. Noah's family was blessed because of their association with Him. However, there is no indication in Scriptures that any of them knew God at this time. It appears that only Noah believed God, that the Lord revealed Himself to no one else. Noah is truly a picture of grace. He was the grandson of Methuselah, the great-grandson of Enoch, who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. His father was Lamech. His name Noah means comfort or rest. The Scriptures seem to indicate that his father was also a man of faith. Lamech had many, many sons and daughters, but the only one who knew God was Noah. Grace does not run in bloodlines. Only Noah believed his father's God. Noah believed the report of his father, who both acknowledged God's curse upon the earth and prophesied that God would work deliverance in Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the Holy Spirit tells us 10 things about this man Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 1. Noah was just. Here again is a word mentioned for the first time. This word does not refer to Noah's character, but to his standing before God. It is true, he behaved justly, but that is mentioned in the next line. This word just refers to Noah's justification by grace upon the grounds of Christ's obedience, that is, justification received by faith. As with all believers, it was not Noah's faith that justified him, but Christ, the object of his faith. 2. He was perfect in his generations. Perfect means sincere and upright. Noah was upright in his conduct, unspotted by the world, and unaffected by all the generations in which he lived. 3. Noah walked with God. Like Enoch before him, and Abraham after him, Noah lived in the awareness of God's immediate presence. He walked with God by faith, trusting Him, believing His word, doing His will in sweet, blessed communion. 4. His faith was based on the Word of God. The basis of Noah's faith was the Word of God. He was warned of God of things not seen as yet. Faith must have a foundation, and the foundation of all true faith is the Word of God. Noah believed because God had spoken it, and he believed what God spoke, even though it was contrary to reason, experience, and science. God warned him of things not yet seen. Truly, his faith was remarkable. Noah believed God was about to send a universal flood with waters covering the whole earth, though it had never rained. Even though no one had ever seen a boat, he built an ark by which he, his family, and all the creatures of the earth were saved from destruction. His faith in God condemned all who would not enter the ark, all who did not believe God. 5. He feared God. The character of Noah's faith was reverence. He was moved with fear. Noah feared God because he believed God. He had an awesome sense of God's wisdom, holiness, justice, truth, and power. He was overwhelmed by a sense of God's goodness. 6. He was obedient. The evidence of Noah's faith was obedience. Being moved with fear, he prepared an ark. Without delay, before the first raindrops fell, Noah began building an ark, following precisely the pattern God had given him. Faith is more than a creed. It is more than embracing historical facts and religious dogma. Faith acts upon God's revelation. It is belief in action. 7. His household was saved. The result of Noah's faith was the salvation of his house. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. God always honors faith. We know that there is no such thing as salvation by proxy, yet God does honor faith. Noah believed God, and God saved his family. Abraham believed God, and God gave his seed the land of promise. Rahab believed God, and God saved her household. The Canaanite woman believed God, and Christ healed her daughter. Because 4 men believed God, Christ healed their paralyzed friend. See Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. The word of promise is yet to be believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. 8. He confessed his faith publicly. The faith of Noah was confessed publicly. By his faith in and obedience to the Lord God, Noah condemned the world. He warned men and women of his generation of God's judgment and impending wrath. He called them to faith. By the word of God he preached, he condemned them for their unbelief. 9. His reward is everlasting. The reward of Noah's faith is everlasting. He became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He was made an heir of righteousness of Christ, and an heir of that which righteousness deserves, eternal glory. And 10. The means of salvation, an ark. The means of Noah's salvation was an ark. Noah and his family were saved by an ark, a ship which God commanded him to build. That ark is a picture of Christ. There are 3 arks mentioned in the Word of God. Each was a place of refuge, shelter, and a safety, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's salvation in and by him. The ark which Noah built secured those who were in it from the vengeance and violent wrath of an angry God. That is Christ our substitute. The ark of bulrushes protected God's chosen one, Moses, from the murderous designs of a wicked ruler, Pharaoh. That ark is Christ, into whom chosen sinners were placed from eternity by a loving Father. The ark of the covenant sheltered the 2 tables of God's holy law, and being covered with blood, was the place of atonement, mercy, and acceptance with God for sinners. That ark is Christ our mercy seat. From the beginning, there has been but one place of refuge for sinners, only one way of salvation. That refuge, that salvation is Christ. If we would be saved, we must be robed in Christ's righteousness and washed in His blood. We must be in Christ by faith. Only Christ can bear our souls above the flood of God's wrath. Only Christ can save us.